welcome to Tea and Strumpets. I'm your co-host Zoe, and I'm here by myself today to introduce our final Escondido Library romance chat. And boy, we saved the steamiest for last, because today we're going to be talking to erotic romance authors. And we teased this episode way back in, July? August. Oh my gosh. Time is a vacuum right now, guys. but we teased this interview back in August when we did our episode on The Scandalous Diary of Lily Layton, and I'm really excited to get to finally share it with you all. So our authors today are Rosemary Wilhide and Tamsin Parker, and they certainly taught me a lot about the genre, because when I went into this chat, I had some misconceptions. So I am super glad that I got the chance to talk with people who really know what they're talking about something that I had absolutely no idea. So again, excited for y'all to hear that. Couple little notes. This was recorded on May 30th, 2020. So it's been a while since it was recorded. If we refer to some old timey sounding things, that's why. But just so you know. And again, this is a Facebook live stream. Our audio quality is not going to be quite as strong as you're used to. And also, just a reminder that we haven't really edited these episodes fully. So you're getting the authentic experience that you would get. And of course, if you would prefer to watch the videos, those are linked in the show notes. So you can see our smiling faces if that's how you prefer to view this. But I think those are all my notes. I just want to say thank you again to the Escondido Library and librarian Jessica Buck for inviting me to participate. And again, she's got a lot of virtual chats continuing through the summer and fall with more romance authors. So if you would like to check those out, be sure to head on over to the Escondido Library Facebook or YouTube page to see those. And she's also got the Between the Covers virtual book club, which is lots of fun. And if you'd like to join that, reach out to her on Twitter. She's at Romance Librarian or at The Romance Librarian. I can't remember which one. Sorry, Jessica. But she's pretty easy to find, and she's great to talk to. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode. But don't forget to join us next week for our first Christmas episode. We're going to be giving you a second chance at loving our last year's Christmas episode, which was Once Upon a Christmas Eve by Elizabeth Hoyt. And it's a fabulous episode. And then we're going to have a new Christmas episode to really keep you in the spirit the following week. So happy holidays, everyone, and enjoy our chat on erotic romance.
Hello again, and welcome everyone to the Escondido Public Library Romance Chats. I'm Jessica, Adult Services Librarian, and I'm joined with Zoe of Tea and Strumpets podcast. This romance chat series began with the hope to bring together romance authors and readers, and we are so happy that you decided to join us today. During this chat, I will be monitoring the Facebook comments. So if you have any questions for the authors, please feel free to leave them in the comments. Now, Zoe is going to give us a little introduction before we introduce the authors and get started.
Hi, everyone. I'm Zoe again. And before we get to the fabulous authors joining us today, I wanted to introduce the subgenre that we're going to be discussing a little bit more in depth. As we've said before, romance spans many, many subgenres. And today, we're talking about what many would consider to be the steamiest subgenre in romance, erotic romance, not to be confused with erotica or porn. Before I get into the details here, I just want to state flat out that I am completely unqualified to be talking about this subgenre, as I have not yet read in it. In fact, I hope to learn a lot from today's authors. But luckily, the internet is available for research, and therefore I do have a short introduction to erotic romance and BDSM fiction for all of us. Sylvia Day gives us a pretty good explanation of what erotic romance is. Quote, erotic romance novels are stories written about the development of a romantic relationship through sexual interaction. The sex is an inherent part of the story, character growth, and relationship development, and couldn't be removed without damaging the storyline. Happily ever after is a requirement to be an erotic romance. And of course, books can contain elements of any other of the romance subgenres, like the ones we've already featured in this series.
Thank you, Zoe. Okay, today we are joined by two erotic romance authors, Rosemary Philhide, with her fabulous setup, and Tamsin Parker. Hello. So here's some little introductions for the authors. Rosemary is an actress turned fitness instructor turned author of Naughty Shenanigans. She's told stories and entertained people her entire life. Writing is her favorite thing because she doesn't have to leave the house or put on pants. I love that. Plus, the voices in her head always do what she says for the most part. Her books are available in paperback and Kindle. Her Swept Away trilogy featuring Running Away to Home, Away with Him, and Away Back. Her Derek's Christmas Carol, a Swept Away novella, and the Vegas Edge series with Temptation, Desire, and Fury. Our next author is Tamsin Parker, a USA best-selling romance author with books in the erotic romance, hot contemporary, sports, and now sweet subgenres, and writes about female-female, male-female, and male-male couples falling for each other. So love for everyone. The Lesbian Review named both If I Loved You Less and Fire on the Ice their top 15 books of 2018, and In Her Court as one of the top 10 audiobooks of 2018. Her novella, Craving Flight, was named to the best of 2015 lists of Heroes and Heartbreakers, Smexy Books, Romance Novel News, and Dear Author. Heroes and Heartbreakers called her After Hours series bewitching, humorous, erotically intense, and emotional. Her standalone novel, His Custody, is available for purchase today. Welcome, ladies. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, everybody.
Yes, thank you
both. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're so happy that you guys can join us and can teach us a little bit more about this subgenre and our watchers and listeners too. So we'll go ahead and get started. We always like to ask our romance authors, when did you first start reading romance and what inspired you to make the journey from reader to writer? And let's go ahead and start off with Rosemary.
Well, thanks for having me. What I started reading romance when I was a little maybe too young, because I used to find books under my sister's pillow and I would feel them. And then for a while there, I got so involved in theater and things, like I started maybe reading more like biographies and lots of plays. And that's when I started writing, and I started writing some comedy sketches and things like that. But 50 Shades, I tell you, I read that. I devoured it. I wanted more. So I went to my girl, Sylvia Day, for the Crossfire series next. And as I was reading that series, I was like, you know, maybe I could do this, because I've always told stories. And at the exact same time that was all going on, I kept having a reoccurring dream about Alexander Skarsgård from True Blood. He kept showing up at my spin class at the private club, and I would have all this workout top on and no pants. Again, no pants. And so I was like, you know, what if, because I had seen other celebrities up there, and I was like, well, you know, maybe. And the wheels just kind of started turning. And that's how my first series was born, with Running Away to Home being first. And it's about this Hollywood heartthrob that comes to the girl next door's spin class in Vegas. And just, there's the connection that they can't seem to walk away from. And so it kind of started with those books, but then it kind of segued into my mad lust for Alexander Skarsgård. And if you look him up, if you don't know who he is, and you'll go, oh, yeah.
Tamsin, how about you?
So for me, I had been working as a consultant for a few years, and then I had my daughter who's 9 now, and I was staying home with her full time. And when you're nursing a baby, you have a lot of time on your hands. So I was reading a lot. And that is really when I started reading romance. Before that, I had mostly read like literary fiction and science fiction and fantasy and some women's fiction. And that was really the first time I had like dove into the romance pool. And I just found myself really just like reading like crazy. And I would read all of these things and say like, oh, I really like this, I really like that, but I didn't like this part. And, you know, then I'd read the next one and it was the same thing. And eventually I thought to myself, what if I wrote a book that had everything that I wanted? And I didn't really take it seriously for a while. But then I started to get more serious and I decided to actually try to publish. And that was in, I guess, early 2014. And that's what I've been doing ever since.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
So now I know you kind of mentioned your books a little bit, but there's probably some people on here that haven't read your books before, haven't read the genre before. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about the books you write? So let's start with Tamsin first this time.
So I have 20 books published. So there's a lot of them. So like it said in my intro, I've written everything from, you know, really the hottest erotic romance all the way to There's Only a Kiss and a Brief Mention of Masturbation, which I wrote that for my parents. because
there's a story there.
There is. I was writing all of these like super sexy books. And my dad, my poor dad, was like, are you ever going to write something that I can read? And I was like, But then I was asked if I would write a queer retelling of Jane Austen's Emma. And I was like, oh, this is my chance. I'm going to write an FF version of Emma. And this one, my dad can read. So the dedication is actually for my parents. And it says, for my parents, I hope you like this book because I'm never writing another book without sex in it ever again. So I write a lot of erotic romance mostly. And I would say all of my erotic romance has kink. So I write a lot of BDSM. I write a lot of a pretty broad spectrum of kink activities. So there's, you know, a lot of DS, there's S&M, there's humiliation kink, there's like some other things that you don't hear as much about. There's a lot of rope, impact play. And I also have 3 books that are a little bit on the taboo side, but they're also very slow burn. So once they get hot, they get really, really hot, but it takes them a while to get there. And so one of those is His Custody, which you mentioned, which is a contemporary guardian ward romance. Another one is called Taming His Teacher, and that is a student teacher romance. And the last one is For Her Own Good, which is like an age gap romance, and it's a woman and her former psychiatrist. So all of those are sort of taboo situations, and they have a lot to work out, which is why they're so slow burn. So there's a ton of like sexual tension and angst and all that good stuff. I wrote a series of 5 books for right around when the Winter Olympics was happening. And so they all have different sports, and it's a mixed pairing series. So there's 3 MF books, 1 MM and 1 FF book. Fire on the Ice was probably my favorite. That's the FF book. And it's really, really dirty. My editor, who had been working in romance and erotica for 10 years, emailed me and was like, I had to stop reading this on the subway because I couldn't stop blushing. I was dying. And I was like, I did my job. So I felt pretty good about that. Yeah, so I've also written a couple of books that were set at Camp Firefly Falls. So sort of like modern Dirty Dancing, like, you know, summer camp for grownups. And those were super fun to write. And it's a continuity. So a bunch of different authors got together. We kind of played in the same sandbox and wrote books. And that was super fun. Was sort of like going to summer camp. So I think those are pretty much all of my books, I guess. I probably forgot some because I always do.
That's okay. We got a good picture of the different variety and the different steaminess. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Okay, Rosemary, let's hear about your books.
Well, my first book, also, I'm just going to say, I'm a huge slacker because my first book was published in 2014 and I'm nowhere near 20 books. So hats off to you. Excellent. But this is my first book. And my first series is one couple, Nia and Derek, and it's the fitness instructor and the Hollywood heartthrob. And it kind of takes you through a lot of ups and downs. There's always a lot. I always tend to write with a lot of humor, and there's always rescue dogs in my books too. And these two in particular were just so horny 24/7 that there's so much sex and especially the first book. And it's funny that you mentioned your dad, because my dad is actually still waiting for a book from me that he can actually read. And he's like, when are you going to switch? He called, instead of genres, he calls them genres. When are you switching genres? I was like, soon, Dad. One of these days, there will be a book just for you. So this is a 3-book series. And I don't have any of Derek's special, but there's a little Christmas novella. And in the Christmas novella, you meet the male lead in Temptation. And this series, the BDSM suspense romance series, kind of came about, I'm just going to blame it on Henry Cavill. He kind of kicked it. I always start with an actor, a hot dude, but they have to, it's the whole, you know, he's such a good actor too. And I saw him give an award to a child that was in a movie years ago. And that's when the wheels started turning, because he had just been announced as Superman and he's up there trying to be so cool and so put together. And then this little girl gets this award from him and he's just cracking her up and he can't keep it together. She's so charming. And so that was kind of got the wheels turning with Adam. And so this series is three separate couples, but there's a thriller edge to this because there's a huge suspenseful mystery that goes on. So they all know each other. Also, all my books are set in Vegas for right now. And there's a little umbrella BDSM club that kind of is where the main kind of hangout is. And what I wanted to do, the reason I wanted to write the BDSM is 2 reasons. I wanted to tell a different side. I wanted to show people with different experiences, different likes and dislikes, different kinks. But also, I have put so much sex in this book in this series that I basically needed props now because I was out. Everything had already gone in all the places. So I needed to turn myself into the carrot top of BDSM because I needed some props. And these books are a little darker. These characters go through a lot more. This one's a little more lighthearted and still love. So whatever kind of floats your boat, you know, they go fast. My books are pretty quick paced. I don't dilly dally and talk about, you know, what color the curtains are. And I just kind of, I write with a lot of dialogue, a little snappy dialogue. And if that's your kind of thing, I think you might dig it, you know?
That sounds really fun. And I am also like, I loved that you had a Henry Cavill inspiration. I also just want to have a small side note about him right now in the current times. His Instagram is one of the most delightful places on the internet. Mm-hmm. He just shows the horses that he rides and loves and all of his bakes. Like, he's just baking in quarantine. And it is so wonderful.
And his dog, Cal.
Yes. Oh, it's just dog. Like, he can't be better. I don't know.
The whole package.
Really? Oh my gosh. So, but I mean, we could sit here and talk about Henry Cavill all day.
Of course
we could. But let's talk a little bit more about erotic romance. So I want to know, what does erotic romance mean to you? And interpret that how you will, but let's start with Rosemary.
Well, for me, erotic romance is like, obviously the way Sylvia, that what you read from what Sylvia said is kind of exactly the way I think about it. There's definitely a story. It's character driven. You're turning the page, not just to get to the next, you know, intimate scene. You also are invested in the characters, in their lives. I like writing that because you get to explore all sides of characters, you know, and I like creating the worlds that they live in and the friendships and the side characters. And so for me, it's like a whole person. And then this is what's going on behind closed doors. It's like you're getting a peek behind the scenes. So that's what it means to me. It's fun. It's hot. It just gives you a little bit of everything.
Great. And how about for you, Tamsin?
So for me, like I agree that Sylvia Day's definition is like spot on, right? The sex is integral to the story, which I would make the argument that if you're writing sex scenes at all, that there should be like, why are they there? You know, they should be serving some kind of purpose, but I understand the emphasis on them in erotic romance. And for me, I think a lot of it is that I don't like to talk about feelings, which is weird for a romance author, right? but I think for some people, it's so much easier to express how they feel and to make themselves vulnerable in a physical way than it is to make themselves vulnerable in an emotional way. And yet when you make yourself vulnerable in a physical way, feelings have a way of sneaking in sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. And also one of the things I love about including kink in my books is that consent and communication is such a huge part of BDSM, and therefore you have to be communicating, but there's almost a script to it, which makes it easier for people who, you know, maybe don't like talking about that stuff. And I wish that in vanilla sex, that there was more of a script that people could talk about, because I do feel like in the kink community, people are so much more open about what they like, what they don't like. Like, here are things that I'm not comfortable with yet, but when we get to know each other better, like, we could try them. So I love that there has to be so much communication. And even if you think you're being all sneaky and not really giving away your feels, you totes are. And, and also I think, like Rosemary was saying, you know, you get to see different sides of people. So in one of my series, it starts off with this woman who is like, she's a crazy badass at her job, right? She's super high powered. She totally kicks butt. She's in charge of everything. And when the weekend comes, she doesn't want to do any of that. And she sort of flips a switch and she goes away to be with people who don't know her in what she considers her real life. And that's where she sort of puts on her submissive hat and does her thing. And then after it's done, she goes back home, does her job. And for her, like keeping those two parts separate is really important until she meets this person who's like, hey, I actually kind of want to know more about you. And she's like, and that's where the fun stuff comes in, is when you have to sort of negotiate not only the physical things, but also the emotional things and the mental things. And how is this person going to fit into the rest of my world?
Well, thank you guys both. That was really interesting. And I just feel like I learned a lot in that little moment there too.
Yeah, I feel like this is a good transition to one of our questions, talking a little bit about BDSM and how that can be used in erotic romance. Is it necessary? Do you have to have it? Is it something you don't have to have? Just kind of talking a little bit about that. And I think we started with Rosemary last time. We can start with Tamsin this time.
So you definitely don't have to have kink in erotic romance. You can, I mean, technically you don't even have to have like, I mean, you have to have some sort of sexual relationship between the two people, but I can make the argument that they never actually have to touch each other. Like, you don't actually ever have to be in the same room as that person. Somebody, you know, could write a romance set, say during, I don't know, some sort of quarantine, and make it an erotic romance, even though the two people would never be able to touch. So I don't think that there are any strict requirements for anything in terms of, you know, like required activities. Mm-hmm. And I think actually that one of the things I love about romance is that it helps people to explore different ways of being physically intimate and different ways of expressing their sexuality. So I love kink because, like I was saying, there's sort of a built-in communication there and consent that is required. I also love it because people are able to take on different roles than they're used to. And also some of it is just fun. And you can talk about, you know, like the different sensations, like the human body and the human mind are so incredible. And the way that people experience different things is amazing. And it's so varied. And I love being able to write about things in a way that even if people are sort of like, I still really don't want to try that. Some of the things I've written about in my books, I don't want to try them either. but making them understand how people could enjoy them and how it could be intimate and how it could be loving is one of the things I love about romance in general, but especially about kink and romance. I would make the argument that in fact, a lot of the BDSM books that get called erotic romance are actually romance with kink, but because they have kink in them, they all get thrown into the erotic romance category. And I wish that weren't true.
Is it because because they're tame, or is it because it's what they're not focusing on?
So like we talked about, you know, in erotic romance, the focus is on the sexual relationship between the characters. Their arcs are focused around that sexual relationship, right? And their relationship is developing through sex primarily. Like, obviously it develops in other ways. But just because first of all, not all kink is sexual. But also, you know, I think in sort of my like three taboo sort of slow burn books, I would categorize them more as romance than erotic romance, to be honest. I mean, when you start getting to the parts where they're physically involved, like, yeah, it gets very hot, very kinky, very fast. But a lot of the relationship development actually happens before they do anything. And it's interesting to me that kink and BDSM is so taboo still, mm-hmm. That its very presence is like, oh, it's erotic romance, like, no matter what.
No, yeah. And I'm happy that you had brought up talking about consent and communication, because I think in general, romance gets a bad rap because, oh, there's sex in it. We shouldn't talk about sex. Like, you're supposed to
talk. We should talk about sex more.
You're supposed to talk.
Well, and I really liked what you said about how, you know, sometimes there are things in the books, you know, that, you know, people, you know, everyone who reads it isn't going to want to try it. Or some of the things you write, you don't even want to try. And I think that that's really important, just as readers and as people, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you want to expand your horizons. You want to know what's out there. That's like gaining more knowledge about the world around you is helpful. I used to be a huge, huge listener. I mean, I've listened to hundreds of episodes of the Savage Love Cast, if you know that podcast. Mm-hmm. It's Dan Savage. And I learned so many things on that podcast, and many of them I do not ever want to try, but it was really eye-opening and educational because I think it sounds like erotic romance can do the same thing for the reader, right? With just expanding your horizons and letting you know that, you know, that's just things in the world. So really cool.
Yeah, I think things in the world, and that it's, I mean, part of what I love about kink and some of the characters who find themselves in this universe is that, you know, they have maybe had these desires but didn't know how to go about getting them.
Yeah.
And in one of my books, it's called Reclaiming His Wife. This man, you know, ruins his marriage because he wants certain things from his wife, but he holds her up on a pedestal and thinks like, I could never do that to her. Because she's too perfect and she's too pure and like she's too, you know. And so he basically drives her away, and then, you know, he still needs this thing. He still wants it, but he doesn't know how to get it. I mean, he does, but he doesn't feel good about how he does it because he's not getting consent from the people who he's getting it from. And so he learns through the book, like how to do this properly and how to communicate and get consent. And he learns that there are people who like the same, things that he does. And that is where he should be looking for this, not like just anywhere. But I think that's so important to know that, like, no matter what you're into, there is somebody out there who wants that very same thing. Probably a lot of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, just, I think it helps people explore their sexualities more and become more confident and more accepting of their own desires and hopefully other people's too.
Thank you. Rosemary.
Yes. We want to hear from you too.
Oh, well.
You want me to repeat the question? It's yes, going to pull up. Answer everything.
The question was if you can talk a little bit about BDSM and how it's used in erotic romance and if it's necessary. That's where we started.
It's definitely not necessary. I think with my first series with Nia and Derek, part of their relationship is discovering all of these things, you know, that she kind of has a sexual awakening, whereas before it was a little bit wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And is that all there is? And she's starting to discover, oh, hang on a second. And as they grow in the relationship, yeah, the kink starts to slip in the second and third book. But in the first book, not really. But part of the reason why, back to what we were talking about our dads, one of the things I said to my dad when he tried to read my very first book, he said, well, I got to that first sex scene. And I said, well, Dad, you could have just skipped over it. He goes, well, I was going to, but it went on and on and on. I was like, oh God. But the part of that is I love the communication in those moments, you know, between the two characters and him making sure she's okay. Like the thing that I love the most that makes me go swoony is the things that the man says to the woman in those explicit, you know, scenes, you know, but also what Tamison was saying in with the BDSM too is the communication is key. So there's a lot of sexual tension that goes on in these books before any clothes come off. You know, it's because, and I think they almost communicate more than you would two people hooking up at a club or something like that. And so there's something very interesting that's always kind of drawn me in. And that's kind of what I wanted to sort of capture. And also the BDSM club that the three doms are a part of, their motto is safe, sane, consensual, and private. Cause you know, they're very she citizens and it's a private club for them because they don't want the world to know, so that you can feel comfortable exploring lots of different desires, you know, anything goes, you know. And so you definitely don't need BDSM in erotic romance, but I think sometimes kinky stuff kind of slips in and that's enjoyable too.
Very cool. And so our next question is also a little bit of a wide sort of question, but what makes a good erotic romance in your eyes? Like what does an erotic romance have to make it be a story that like maybe you want to read yourself or you want to recommend to other people or you want to write? So we'll start with Rosemary.
Well, another one of my favorites, you know, because I love the 50 Shades and I love Sylvia's Crossfire. I also started reading, I love Meredith Wilde's book, On Her Knees. I think that's an amazing romance. One of my dear friends, she wrote a book called Ripped and Twisted, which is a BDSM romance that's pretty, one at the top of my list. And what drew me into that is the connection between the characters, the banter, that it's not just, you know, dark and, oh, we're in a dungeon all the time, that there's light moments. And there's just more to it than just going into the dungeon and banging it out. You know, there's just a lot that the characters are really what draw me in, and just the dialogue. I love good dialogue. I'm a sucker for it. If a book opens with a really good scene of dialogue, you have me, I'm in. I like it when the book opens and something's going on. She's not waking up thinking about something or a dream, or, you know, the exposition isn't in her head. Like things are happening, it's kicking off, there's a connection, there's a complication, there's angst. I love it all.
Fabulous. And how about you, Tamsin?
So for me, I love that sort of angst between the characters, and they're both sort of desperately in love with each other, but are also terrified of their own feelings. And so they're like, I like you, but I'm never, ever going to tell you because that would be terrible. Like, who does that? Gross. I also love, like, people talk about grand gestures, right? Like, and especially towards the end of a lot of romance novels, you get these people, you know, doing their big grand gesture, their huge groveling, like these public displays of affection and commitment and all this stuff. And for me, I really like the smaller things. I like the smaller, like, you know, it's like the proof that your partner has paid attention to you and has noticed these little things about you and cares enough to provide them for you, especially with you out without you having to ask. For me, I love those little caretaking moments that always gets me. And I guess also for me, I can get really super pulled out of a story if there isn't an adequate amount of consent and discussion and communication. And also if the kink is unrealistic or unsafe, like a lot of times you can tell whether people, you know, I don't think that you have to have direct, like, personal experience doing kink to write about it well. There are some people who have a really intuitive sense of how certain things would feel. But there are some things where, you know, stuff shows up and you're like, oh, this person has not done this before and they didn't do their research. And that really pulls me out of a story and sometimes makes me want to throw my Kindle. So I would say that having, you know, safe and communicative kink is really important to me when there's BDSM involved.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And I feel like it also translates to kind of any genre, even if there's no kink in it. I feel the same way when I'm reading, you know, if there is lack of consent. Some of the older stories, sometimes, you know, if you know it's a generational thing and that's kind of how the writing was at that time, if it's still good writing, you know, you can maybe wrap your head around it. But I find the same, if there's lack of consent, I'm pulled out of the story. Or also if the author has obviously not done their research on something, especially if you're familiar with it, it definitely pulls you out of the story. And it's just, I feel that's really universal, but makes even more sense, you know, in a kink space, because consent is so important. And also getting it right is important for the people who are learning about it and who are interested in it or who practice it, because they want to be represented properly. So very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I feel like kind of answered this question a little bit, Tamsin, so I'm going to start with you. What is important for you to include in your books?
Consent is a big one for me. I also, you know, even though I write some taboo things, it's always really important for me to be respectful and also to navigate certain relationships really carefully. And I didn't mention this book before, but I wrote a book that involves a lot of BDSM, but is also set in the Orthodox Jewish community. It's called Craving Flight. Okay. And it's probably the book I'm proudest of. And I had to do a lot of research. And it was important to me to treat the Orthodox community with respect and to adhere to a lot of their traditions, but also let my characters be themselves, which included, you know, them wanting to be involved in certain acts with each other. And so I always want to be respectful of the people and the relationships that I'm writing about. And I always want people to feel things, you know, and whether I'm making people frustrated, you know, some of my characters frustrate me a lot. And I thought it was funny when it said in Rosemary's bio that her characters always do what she tells them to, because mine don't. Like, they will frequently just be like, no, we're not doing that. And so it sounds strange, but like being respectful of my own characters and of their own motivations and their, you know, if something is in character for them or not, you know, being respectful of their stories. And yeah, like my goal is always to give my readers feelings. And sometimes that is, you know, I get very angry reader emails, but sometimes I just feel like that meant I did my job. So.
Okay. So Rosemary, I'll repeat the question. What is important for you to include in your books?
I end up usually including just a little piece of myself in all of my female characters. And I always like to inject the book with a big dose of humor, because I think that's, I just really want to entertain you. I mean, maybe that's like the old actress in me, you know, I just want you to go on a ride. I want you to laugh and cry and feel all the feels. In these, in all my books, they have rescue dogs, of course, and I work them in somehow. And I also liked the female characters almost always have a tribe of strong women around them, and they're there for each other. And I love those relationships, and I draw from my own friendships and my experiences. And in terms of what Tamasen said too, always consent, and everything's been thoroughly vetted and researched in BDSM and all the books. Because I wanted, in case anybody wants to try it, you know, like, hey, honey, you know, like, I want them to have a good, safe, plausible experience if it sparks any kind of idea. And always happily ever after.
Definitely. Gotta have that happily ever after. So our next question is hopefully a little easier, because we're wondering if you guys can recommend maybe a great erotic novel for our listeners to get started with if they're interested in reading the genre. Of course, recommending your own is allowed. yeah, so let's go ahead and start with Rosemary.
Well, of course, I'd love you to read my books, you know, but I still read a lot. And I, like I said, my friend Jennifer LaSalle Edwards, she wrote Ripped and Twisted. It's a great BDSM read. And she has heart and humor and steamy goodness in there. And Meredith Wiles on her knees. I love that book. And also, if you want something just like a little, like if you've never read FMM before, I would recommend Sam J.D. Hunt's Taken by Two. I had never read a book like that. Hers was my first. And I just thought the way she developed the characters and the relationships, it was just a great story and a great read. So those would be my top three.
Awesome. Thank you. And Tamsin.
So for erotic romance, I think Sierra Simone is a great writer. She is super smart, and I love how she sort of walks on the edge of really not okay. So if you like taboo, Sierra is great. And Priest is a fantastic book, and also her New Camelot series is really fun. And I went on a retreat with Sierra, actually, and we were talking about daddy kink. And Sierra was saying, like, oh, that's not really my jam. And I was like, that's cool. Like, there's things I don't really particularly enjoy, and I'm not going to spend my time reading books I don't enjoy because there's so many books out there. I was like, but do me a favor. Do me a favor and read this book called Looking for Trouble by Misha Horn, which is an MM book. And it is a daddy kink book. It's a historical cowboy Western. Yep. Historical cowboy Western daddy kink. And I was like, read that book. And if you can still say after that book that daddy kink is not your thing, I will never mention it to you ever again. And guess what? She loved it. So that would be another one of my recommendations, is Misha Horn's Looking for Trouble. And if you want some super funny, really clever, and some of the most realistic kink I've ever read, like, I really felt like it was written for people who are kinky and not just people who are sort of like kink curious, or like maybe even a little bit like, it's hard to explain, but there are some people who love to read about it, but in real life they're sort of kink shamey and kink phobic. But these books, I never felt like the kink was written for anyone except people who would understand it and who would appreciate it. And so J.A. Rock wrote four books called The Subs Club. And the first book in the series is called The Subs Club. My favorite book in that series is called Pain Slut. And it's a lot funnier than it sounds, I swear.
Well, thank you guys. Some great recommendations. I've also have been recommended Priest before. So now that I've heard it twice too, maybe it's like really time to go.
Actually, me too.
Fine.
All right.
All right.
Okay. So we're getting down to the end, and I'm going to ask my favorite question that I get to ask during these chats. What is your favorite library memory? So I guess whoever wants to start first can start, because it might be difficult. You might have to think about it for a moment.
Anybody want to jump in there? Mm-hmm. All right, Rosemary.
I was really young. It was summertime. My mom was getting so annoyed by me. So she said, please go see your cousin up the street. So I went and saw my cousin Cheryl up the street. And my aunt Nancy took us to the library, and they were having a summer read story time there. So I sat there. There were puppets. There was like acting, puppets, books, stories. I was like, oh, I'm home. This was great. I loved the way it smelled. I loved the people that I got to meet. I felt really comfortable because I was kind of a shy weirdo, but it just felt like all my peeps were there. They let me put the puppet on in play, and it was just amazing. And then I think I signed up for their weekly reader program, and I read a bunch of books. That's when I started reading the Little House on the Prairie books, and then later Judy Blume. And so it kind of kicked off my love for reading by going to their summer story time.
That warms my heart. I know everyone has done the summer reading as a kid, and it's like, I just love hearing about it. The pressure's on.
Yeah, so I guess my favorite library memory is not so much about me, it's about my kid, who is 9 now. And she has always been a big reader. Like, we've always just had books in the house, and she has been able to read since she was 3, and it's just, you know, she's a voracious reader. She will read anything you give her. And when we moved just a couple towns away from where we had lived before. But she was old enough to get a library card. And so one of the first things that we did when we moved to the new town was we went to the library and we got my daughter a library card. And I had my camera with, or no, I just had my phone with me. And when we stepped out, and she checked out 3 books, which was the most that she could check out. And we walked out of the library, which, you know, part of it is like this nice historic building. It's beautiful. And I took a picture of her. And she's holding her books. And she's got her little library card, like, on her little neck thing. And, like, she just looks so happy. And I'm like, yes. Like, my kid loves books. Aww. She loves the library. And it just made me really happy. So that's my favorite library memory.
Oh, thank you for sharing, both of you. It's so nice to hear people loving libraries, especially right now.
So we're going to wrap up with just a couple more questions here today. And the first question is, what is next for you? So we'll start off with Tamsin.
That is a great question. I have actually, I've been having a really hard time finishing projects, which is not usual for me. I'm usually sort of a... you know, even if I don't like a book, I'm very deadline driven. And, you know, my husband likes to tease me about it because I'll be complaining about a book that I'm writing for weeks and weeks. And he'll be like, how are you going to finish this again? And I'm like, sheer bloody mindedness. My sheer bloody mindedness has deserted me a little bit. So I'm not actually sure what my next book will be. I am planning to re-release some of the short stories that I had written for the Rogue anthologies that I helped to organize. So it was all political romance, and they recently got taken down because they've been up for several years, and I administered all of the finances and all of that, and had over 30 authors in 7 volumes, and it was a lot. So I had 4 stories in the series, and I'll be reissuing those. So that will probably be what people would see next from me. And if they want to know more, or, you know, when I finally get my act together, what, what I'm actually putting out, then they can follow me on social media or sign up for my newsletter.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you actually have a lot on your plate. So, I mean, I wouldn't worry. And the time right now is a rough time. So we all have to be gentle with ourselves for sure. So what about you, Rosemary?
Well, I decided to go a little more mainstream with my next book. It's contemporary romance. There's a little bit of sexy time, but not very much, which is rare for me. And it's called Power Play, Go Big or Go Home. And it's about the bad boy of the Vegas hockey team. that ran himself into some trouble. So that is currently at my publisher's right now. She's doing my first round of edits. So it should come out sometime this summer, I think. And then before I started writing Power Play, I was actually writing a thriller called Killer Fiction. But the characters in Power Play just kind of wouldn't shut up. So I put Killer Fiction, that's the book from my dad. He wanted me to write something, a thriller. So I'm going to get back to Killer Fiction after Power Play comes out.
Brilliant. And then we have one final question for you guys, which is, where can readers find you and where can they get your books? And I know, Tamsin, you said social media, but if you want to go ahead and let people know what that is for you.
Yes. So if you like Instagram and you want to see pictures of my dog and the various art projects I've been doing instead of writing during quarantine, you can follow me there. And I am author Tamsin Parker on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook. I have both a page, or you can feel free to friend me. And I'm also on Twitter some, although not nearly as much as I used to be, but I am Tamsin Parker there. So I'm pretty easy to find. And if you go to my website, which is just tamsinparker.com, you can find a whole list of my books. Or you can find me on BookBub. I am all over the place.
Excellent. Rosemary?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, Rosemary Wilhide Author. Also, the Rosemary Wilhide Author on my Facebook page. You can friend request me. I think the place that I spend the most time with lately is my reader group called Rosemary's Rebels of Romance. And that's where I usually do most of my giveaways. Like last month, I gave away like these notebooks with the box set covers on them. And you know, my reader group's probably not for everybody. I have this thing I like to do called Butt Cheek Thursday. So I didn't post butt cheeks though this Thursday in case, because I didn't want to go to Facebook too. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do that. But it's a little group. It's readers and authors, and sometimes we do parties in there. So Rosemary's Rebels of Romance or friend requests, whatever you can do.
Fabulous.
And I want to let the viewers know that you can get books by Rosemary and Tamsin, borrow them through Libby, Overdrive, Hoopla, and Cloud Library. I think I got them all. Awesome. Ebooks and audiobooks. Okay, so thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Rosemary. Thank you, Tamsin. Thank you, Zoe. It's been a great time. Now, before I officially close, I'm going to let Zoe tell you a little bit about her podcast, Tea and Strumpets.
Yes, just a brief plug for my podcast. Tea and Strumpets is a historical romance podcast. We talk all about mostly Regency and Victorian romance novels. You can find us wherever you get podcasts. We have book reviews. We have interviews. All of June, we are doing Pride Month episodes. We have two LGBTQ novels and two LGBTQ historical romance authors joining us. So a great month ahead, and you can find us everywhere you get podcasts or our website, romancepod.com. We're also on social media, but you can find us by searching our name.
Awesome.
And it's just a reminder that the library's romance book club, Between the Covers, run by me, we'll be meeting June 11th on Zoom, and we're going to discuss Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston. So excited. This, sadly, was the last episode of our chats for now. You'll be able to catch Zoe on her podcast anytime again by visiting romancepod.com. And I'm really excited about the June Pride Month episodes, so you can't miss those, because I'm not going to miss them. I will be back live on Facebook starting June 12th with authors Susan Elizabeth Phillips and Jane Ann Krentz, and I'm really nervous and also really excited about it. That's going to start off our next season of virtual author chats. It's going to have a mix of adult romance, young adult romance, debut authors, and some graphic novel goodness. So we hope to see you there. Thank you again for joining us, and we will see you next time.
Tea and Strumpets is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Betsy. We're the Dinner Sisters, two sisters taking on the nightly challenge of dinner. Every week, we test and review three recipes from all over the internet. We post new episodes every Sunday to give you some dinner inspiration.
One of our favorite things about podcasting is being together as sisters. Here's a clip about our relationship and a little bit about food.
I bake it. I pull it out to the table and I take it off. And Brian's like, is that fish not gutted? What is going on?
Oh,
yes. So I had not gutted the fish.
Had there not been fish guts all over the place, I think your kids would have thought it was cool.
If you'd like to join us for dinner, you can find us at www.dinnersisters.com, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll save a spot at the table for you.